This morning, America's first news starts right after this.
Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
Game over. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka on this Friday, April 19. Glad you could be with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
President Trump took to Twitter to declare game over in response to the release of the Mueller report, but some Democrats disagree.
Congress considers two politically risky options after special counsel Robert Mueller's report was made public.
The White House is launching another initiative designed to fight the opioid epidemic.
And when gluten-free doesn't really mean gluten-free.
There is a new study that was published in the American Journal of Gastroenterology that found that 32% of restaurant foods that are labeled gluten-free actually contain gluten.
Zlati Meyer at USA Today on a new study that finds plenty of gluten in so-called gluten-free foods. Her report in about 20 minutes. The special counsel's report is finally in, as you may have heard. It outlines efforts by President Trump to diminish or shut down the investigation, but it does not establish that anyone affiliated with the Trump campaign knowingly conspired with efforts by Russians to interfere in the 2016 election. The lightly redacted report, long anticipated in Washington political circles, explained why Mr. Mueller didn't pursue a charge of obstruction against the president. He cited, in part, Justice Department guidance that a sitting president can't be indicted. Attorney General William Barr.
There is substantial evidence to show that the president was frustrated and angered by his sincere belief that the investigation was undermining his presidency, propelled by his political opponents, and fueled by illegal leaks.
Mr. Mueller's team concluded that while Mr. Trump's actions could have exerted influence on their investigation, his subordinates declined to carry out orders. His White House counsel, for example, refused to convey to the deputy attorney general that Mr. Mueller, quote, must be removed, and later refused to dispute an accurate media report about it. What will Democrats do in the wake of the Mueller report's release? They can use it on the campaign trail or try to impeach the president. Either carries risks. House Democrats already have multiple probes underway into topics including Mr. Trump's finances, businesses, and relationships with foreign nations. The toughest inquiry will rest with House Judiciary Chairman Jerry Nadler, whose committee is looking at obstruction of justice. That question gained steam since the Mueller report revealed new details of Mr. Trump's efforts to thwart the probe.
I think it was probably written with the intent of providing Congress a roadmap, as other reports have in the past. But with a lot of the redactions and others, Attorney General Barr seems to be trying to frustrate that intent.
It also became clear that Mr. Barr and Mr. Mueller assessed the evidence against Mr. Trump somewhat differently. Mr. Barr said weeks ago that the Department of Justice would not take action against Mr. Trump. In the report, Mr. Mueller made clear he was not exonerating the president. One of the newer pieces of information to come out of the Mueller report was President Trump's reaction when he learned that a special counsel was actually being appointed. More from Jeff Murdoch, Justice Department reporter at the Washington Times. Jeff, what stands out?
There's a lot that stands out. I think in particular one of the things that is most interesting is the president's reaction upon learning that the special counsel had been appointed, using expletives and declaring at the end of his presidency. He was so incensed that Attorney General Jeff Sessions, after thinking of actually handed him a resignation shortly after that, because he directed a lot of that anger towards the then Attorney General.
When he said the phrase, "This is the end of my presidency," at the appointment of the special counsel, in his mind, do you think that meant it was going to end before even the first 4 years had finished, or did he mean at the end of one term?
I think it's hard to know what the president meant. I think what he was referring to, if you follow along with what the special counsel is, what it seems to imply is that he knew that his administration and the country would be tied up in knots for the duration of the investigation, and he wasn't going to be able to accomplish anything, thus making him a one-term president.
There was another interesting quote, too, where he said to the former Attorney General Jeff Sessions, "How could you let this happen, Jeff?"
Exactly. That's a really interesting quote because it shows that President Trump really did view Jeff Sessions' job to protect him, not to work for the institution that Jeff Sessions represents, which is the Department of Justice, which is independent of the president.
What else did you think as you were starting to digest these nuggets as they started to trickle out?
I thought, well, one of the things I thought was most interesting was on the obstruction of justice side, in terms of the Trump Tower, that they ruled it was not obstruction because the president had ordered his press team to lie to the media, but not to Congress or the special counsel, therefore it did not amount to obstruction. So basically Robert Mueller was saying it's cool to lie to the media, you just don't lie to us or Congress, which I thought was kind of an interesting conclusion.
Wow. All right, so what happens at this point? Because we still have congressional investigations that will be part of this.
It'll be interesting to see. Right now, everybody's still digesting it and going through the report. We saw Jerry Nadler talking. I mean, he called it, I believe, a roadmap to impeachment. I don't know if the Democrats are going to want to start that fight right now, especially with an election coming up. But there's definitely, I mean, the House and the Senate are definitely going to have their say on this. Bill Barr is going to go up there on May 1st and May 2nd to the House and Senate and talk about the report. But also, it seems very clear that Special Counsel Mueller is going to be called, or possibly members of his team. At Barr's press conference today, he said he would not block or forbid Mueller from testifying. So.
I'm speaking with Jeff Murdock, Justice Department reporter at The Washington Times, talking about the release of the Mueller report. Should Mr. Mueller testify, could we expect something different other than what's in the report?
Well, we don't know because Mr. Mueller hasn't said anything. He has been very silent about this whole operation. He said very little. Now, even when he has said stuff, they've been terse statements through his press person. And the last time we've even heard anything was when he came out to denounce the BuzzFeed story, saying that Mueller was investigating whether or not Michael Cohen had directed President Trump to lie about the Moscow Trump Tower. And if you recall, Special Counsel Mueller put out a statement saying that that story was untrue. And that's the last we've heard from him. And that was 4 or 5 months ago.
Yeah. What about Republican-led investigations at this point for how the Russia probe all began with, say, connections to the Steele dossier?
I think that's what we're going to start seeing. It'll be interesting to see the fight here because Republicans are going to be calling for an investigation into how this the Russian collusion narrative, which the president was cleared on, developed while Democrats call for impeachment. Bill Barr said that he's working on his own review. We won't know much about that until he testifies. I'm sure lawmakers are going to press him about that, and he'll be talking about it then.
Thanks, Jeff. Jeff Murdock, Justice Department reporter at The Washington Times. Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Friday. The Trump administration is ramping up efforts in the battle against opioids. The White House yesterday announced a $350 million opioid addiction research and treatment initiative to reduce overdose deaths by as much as 40% in communities in 4 especially hard-hit states. We get more from this morning's Mike Gavin.
The 3-year research and treatment project will focus on as many as 60 towns in Kentucky, Massachusetts, New York, and Ohio. Those areas will benefit from treatment options like the addiction antidote naloxone, enhanced law enforcement, and substance abuse counseling resources. The federal government estimates the number of U.S. deaths by opioid overdose reached 47,000 in 2017. Separately, the FDA announced new dosage forms, limited quantity packaging, and new research requirements on companies that make painkillers. Gordon.
Thanks, Mike. The latest move is part of the NIH's HEAL initiative, which involves the study of basic neuroscience in an effort to produce new drug and behavioral treatment methods. The new study includes grants to the University of Kentucky and Lexington, Boston Medical Center, Columbia University, and Ohio State. It's 20 minutes after the hour on this morning. Jennifer Koshenka is here with more of America's First News.
According to the long-awaited report from Special Counsel Robert Mueller, found that President Trump tried to get the man appointed to investigate his links to Russia fired, but no collusion occurred. The president and his legal team described the report as a total victory. Mueller's investigation led to 35 people being charged, including several who were part of the president's campaign and administration. House Judiciary Committee Chairman Jerry Nadler says he intends to continue pursuing the entire unredacted report. The mammoth document is the product of a 22-month investigation by Mueller, who was appointed to probe Russian interference in the 2016 election. Strong storms are again roaring across the South, killing two Mississippi drivers and a woman in Alabama, while leaving more than 100,000 people without power across Alabama, Mississippi, Louisiana, and Texas. National Weather Service forecasters say they believe multiple tornadoes hit southwest and central Mississippi. Heavy wind and rain is now pushing eastward. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell plans to introduce legislation to raise the minimum age to buy tobacco products from 18 to 21 nationally, covering all tobacco products, including vaping devices. The Kentucky Republican represents a state that for generations was a leading tobacco producer. McConnell says his bill will hold retailers responsible for verifying the age of anyone buying tobacco products. 12 states have already enacted laws raising the minimum legal age to 21. Scientists say a genetic test can identify newborns at heightened risk of becoming severely obese by middle age, which might give time for interventions in early childhood to head off that fate. The test examined more than 2 million spots in a person's genetic code, seeking variants that each nudge the obesity risk up by a tiny amount. The study found that in middle-aged people, those with high scores were 25 times as likely to be severely obese as those with low scores. The work was reported in the journal Cell.
Do you imagine identifying 2 million spots
that's a lot
in
of work.
Genetic code?
But it might be worth it.
Just grab a pad. I'm going to need you to scribble these down. Thanks, Jen. 22 minutes after the hour. Thanks for spending time with us. Even if a restaurant menu says an item is gluten-free, new research says there's a good chance some gluten will end up on your plate. Eating gluten, a protein found in some grains, is dangerous for some people, while for others with gluten intolerance or gluten sensitivity, doing so causes a range of painful and potentially embarrassing consequences. More on the study from Zlati Meyer, business reporter at USA Today. Zlati, what did we learn?
There was a new study that was published in the American Journal of Gastroenterology that found that 32% of restaurant foods that are labeled gluten-free actually contain gluten. So this gives a lot of thought, a lot of food for thought, if you will, to people who try to avoid gluten either because they have celiac disease or they just choose to do so because of sensitivities or allergies or just as a lifestyle choice.
And gluten-free can mean that there is some gluten in foods, right? It just can't exceed a certain percentage.
Right. The word free is a little misleading. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration has created a standard which was put into place in 2014 that said it must have less than 20 parts per million in order to be labeled gluten-free. So that's obviously very, very little. But for people that have a sensitivity or an illness that can pick up the gluten, it really can be a big difference.
All right. Is it still dangerous, I guess, at that point, or does it depend on your sensitivity?
It depends on your sensitivity. For some people, it can cause real danger. For others, it can cause embarrassing or uncomfortable side effects, such as diarrhea, abdominal bloating, flatulence, etc.
All right. So does this largely fall into our laps as consumers when we're purchasing this food, whether, I guess, in a grocery store or at a restaurant?
It does. It does. So the way they conducted this study was some professors at Columbia joined forces with NEMA, which is this food testing device, and they do have some relationship with the company, which they disclosed in the study. And what you do is you take a pea-sized piece of a food, you put it in this device, and it determines whether or not gluten has been detected. And they found some interesting patterns about what is more or less likely to have gluten. So, for example, they say pasta and pizza are the worst offenders. Gluten was found in 53.2% of pizza samples that were said to be gluten-free, and a little more than half of pastas that were said to be gluten-free actually tested positive for gluten. So that was one interesting finding. Another thing they were able to determine was that gluten was detected more at dinner time, 34%, rather than breakfast, which was a little bit more than 27%. And they also found that restaurant foods labeled gluten-free were less likely to test positive for gluten in the western part of the U.S. versus the Northeast. And one other bit of information they said was the type of restaurant where you're eating also plays a role to a degree. They found that restaurants identified as fast casual or casual had lower detection rates than traditional fast food places. So that was interesting. And the study did not name names. So there's no gossip component where we can talk about national chains versus mom and pops. They did not name names. This was crowdsourced data. What they did was they crunched 18 months worth of data. It was a little bit more than 5,600 tests performed by 804 NEMA users around the country who are willing to share the results of their NEMA tests, and that's how they were able to sort of figure out all these problem areas.
Thanks, Lottie. Lottie Meyer, business reporter at USA Today. It is 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Day one for a new employee. Instead of joining in productively, they face a confusing, disjointed process and piles of paper forms. With Kronos, you can automate the entire onboarding process, creating a better experience for employees and freeing you to focus on the human part of your job. HR, payroll, talent, and timekeeping in one unified system, all with a proven implementation approach and simplified, transparent pricing. Learn more at kronos.com/onboarding. Kronos, workforce innovation that works.
You're a small business owner, and there's nothing small about what you do. That's why Dell Small Business Technology Advisors give you trusted advice, one-on-one partnership, and tailored tech solutions, like computers with Intel Core processors, servers, storage, networking, plus thousands of top-brand electronics, accessories, and software. No matter your technology needs, Dell is here to help your small business do big things. Call 877-BUY-DELL to speak with an advisor today. That's 877-BUY-DELL.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show, like us on Facebook, or send us an email, thismorning@compassmedianetworks.com.
Thanks for spending time with us on this Friday, April 19. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka, some of our top stories and headlines. Washington digests the Mueller report, and congressional Democrats consider next options on obstruction of justice. The Trump administration launches a new opioid addiction initiative. Strong storms blamed on at least three deaths in the South with multiple tornadoes in the area. The storm reaches the East Coast and Mid-Atlantic today. The New York Auto Show opens today, and the New Orleans Church with a Good Friday giveaway. That story in about 20 minutes. You're familiar by now with the fact that the Mueller report has been released. Let's get political analysis of it from Jim Antle, editor-in-chief at the American Conservative. Jim, your takeaways.
Well, the big thing is that no collusion, no conspiracy with Russia was found implicating any American, much less the president or anyone involved in the Trump campaign. So Mueller didn't find any collaboration with Russia, any winning U.S. allies for their attempts to sway and interfere in the U.S. presidential election 2016. So that's the biggest thing. So then once you get into did President Trump obstruct or did he not obstruct, and clearly that's the most colorful part of the report, I think when you don't have the underlying crime of collusion or any other type of conspiracy involving Russia, then the whole obstruction, interesting and maybe at some point politically important, loses some of its legal significance, I think.
Where will Democrats latch onto here?
Obviously, there's a lot of stuff, particularly in that obstruction section, that they're going to glom onto. Clearly, the president was pretty angry about this investigation. He took some steps of questionable appropriateness, or at least urged his aides to do some of these things. But it's not. There's no incident where they really acted upon the president's request, said the president didn't follow up and make any of them do this. He didn't fire anybody. He didn't do anything directly to shut down the Mueller probe, and it continued into its conclusion. But that's I think, the big part that the Democrats are going to latch on to. I also think that Mueller does, even as he finds no collusion, he does concede that Russia was trying to help the Trump campaign, and the Trump campaign believed some of what Russia was releasing through the hacked emails and other things was going to benefit them politically. So I think they're going to try to stress those sections of the report and downplay the no collusion finding, and probably move the goalposts of what collusion really means so that they can still claim that in some sense the president is guilty of something.
We're speaking with Jim Antle, editor-in-chief at the American Conservative. We're talking about the Mueller report. Is it too much to consider this a win for President Trump?
Well, it's certainly better than other scenarios could have been. Obviously, I think it's a win in the sense that this investigation is over. It's a win in the sense that nothing came out of it that is likely presidency a daydream. I don't know that all Democrats will be dissuaded from an impeachment attempt, so it's going to be very interesting to see how House Speaker Nancy Pelosi contains the urge in her own caucus to try to advance articles of impeachment against the president, given that there was no collusion. So it could be a win for the president in that it divides his political opponents, that they're not going to be entirely sure about how to handle this, because even though there wasn't anything in the report that is likely to really, truly endanger Trump's presidency, there was enough to keep a subset of the Democratic base that's fired up about this to feel engaged, to really want to go on the warpath a little bit over the Trump-Russia stuff. So, you know, the Trump wins by not having any real serious criminal allegation made against him, and he wins by potentially having a divided Democratic Party.
Right. What about, the fair way to ask the question conversely would be, is it a loss for Democrats, this report?
Well, the silver lining, I think, should they accept it, and that's a major caveat, is it might have been a huge waste of time to be pursuing impeachment when you're heading into an election year, and you can get rid of Trump via the ballot box potentially anyway. And so Mueller has given them the opportunity to not take that path. Of course, there's enough stuff, as I mentioned, in the obstruction section that they might choose to go down that road anyway, even though that would probably lead to a Senate acquittal of the president right before the election and could potentially distract Democrats during a campaign.
Thanks, Jim. Jim Antle, editor-in-chief at The American Conservative. Reminder, by the way, we can connect on social media. You can friend us on Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter, at This Morning Show. You can follow me directly on Twitter as well, at Gordon Deal. Thanks for joining us and welcome into Friday. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, you know, when you play sports, there are good days and there are bad days. This would certainly qualify as a good day for one Ohio high school baseball player. Luke Borer hit four home runs for Perrysburg High School in a 22-14 win on Monday night, which put him in elite company. It's the type of homers that makes this night truly special. In his first at-bat, he hit a solo homer. He added a three-run shot in his second and a two-run blast in his fourth at-bat. In his fifth at-bat, Borer hit a grand slam to complete a home run cycle, something no one in the major leagues has ever even done. Alex Rodriguez came the closest, having hit three homers in the first four innings of a game in 2005, but he missed on the solo shot needed to complete the cycle.
It has Come happened. On, A-Rod. Seriously?
Come on, A-Rod.
Couldn't get that done?
Jeez.
Weak.
It has happened at the college and minor league levels before, but it is certainly rare. Now, the most remarkable part of the feat might have been that Borer hadn't hit a home run in his high school career heading into this game. So you can say, Gordon, that he was due.
I see. Yeah, you can, I guess.
Can you believe that?
What's wild, though, is the way things actually have to line up.
Yeah.
But you can't do this all on your own.
Oh, yeah,
you need
sure.
the right amount of runners on base, yep. you know, each time, blah,
yeah,
blah, blah.
You need
and how about the fact?
You.
How about the fact that he needed the grand slam to complete it? It wasn't
right.
like that was his first one of the game.
Yes.
Wow.
And he even had another chance because it was a 22-14 game, so yeah. he even had a sixth at bat. He could have even added to this, but actually
right.
he popped out to second base.
Wow.
So, you know, he was disappointed about that, I'm sure.
Well, it's a good thing they tacked on the two-point conversion there because wound up needing eight runs to win. How many runs did he drive in? Four, seven, nine, ten? Like
yeah.
10 runs or
yeah,
something he drove
yeah.
in.
Yeah, not too shabby. What's he going to do for an encore? And what would you do if you saw a 2-foot-long poisonous snake slithering in your garage, dangerously close to your barefoot spouse, and you just happened to be within arm's reach of a machete? Now, I know what Gordon, Jennifer, and I would do, but it's completely the opposite of what one Florida woman chose to do instead. According to USA Today, Michelle Redfern started doing rhymes in her head when she saw a colorful snake in her Melbourne garage. Red touches black, friend of Jack. Red touches yellow, kill a fellow. Mm. That bit of useful info led her to determine that the snake was indeed a coral snake. But instead of hacking it to bits, Redfern had a turn of heart, deciding to rescue it instead. She used the machete to scoop the snake into a pitcher, and with the help of her husband, relocated the snake out of the neighborhood. She says that it was the first time she had come up against such a beautiful creature and didn't want to kill it if she could help it.
Wow.
Can you imagine?
Wow, she's a better person than me.
Yeah, can you imagine any one of us?
No.
You know?
If that was me and you in the garage,
yeah.
My only thought would be, I only have to outrun Mike.
Right.
I don't have to worry about anything else.
Yeah.
Just outrun Mike. Yeah. I just have to be faster than you. That's all.
Yeah, here's what would happen. Forget about even killing it in the garage. You would run out of the house to the real estate office to put your house on the market.
That's absolutely
and then,
right.
And then have it sold immediately.
Probably, maybe even not have gone that far. Just pulled the phone out of my pocket and speed dial the realtor.
Exactly.
Peace out. Thanks, Mike. 13 minutes now in front of the hour. Thanks for spending time with us. Eat breakfast and give yourself time to digest before bed. That's the bottom line from a new study in the European Journal of Preventive Cardiology, which found that people who skip breakfast and eat a late dinner have much worse health outcomes after surviving a heart attack. In fact, people who skipped breakfast and ate a late dinner were 4 to 5 times more likely to die, have another heart attack, or suffer chest pain within 30 days after leaving the hospital. MarketWatch quotes an NPD group survey which found that 31 million U.S. consumers skip breakfast every day, with many saying they didn't have enough time or were too busy to eat. Others said they weren't hungry yet. One researcher recommended at least a 2-hour interval between dinner and going to bed. Personally, I go for 4 hours. And the researcher also said breakfast should include dairy products like yogurt, a carbohydrate like whole wheat bread, and whole fruits. He said breakfast should have 15 to 35% of our total daily calorie intake. It's 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is back with more of America's First News.
Gordon, it's now up to Congress to decide what to do with Special Counsel Robert Mueller's findings about President Trump. While the special counsel declined to prosecute Trump on obstruction of justice, he did not exonerate him, all but leaving the question to Congress. Trump attorney Jay Sekulow told ABC there's nothing to pursue.
If you don't conclude the individual that's the subject of the investigation has committed a crime, you don't bring a charge. So what you've got here, look, if they had an obstruction case, they would have made it.
But House Intelligence Committee Chairman Adam Schiff says Mueller's report provides fresh evidence of Trump's interference in the Russia probe.
Whether the obstruction of justice was criminal or not, or whether these contacts were sufficiently illicit or not to rise the level of a criminal conspiracy, they are unquestionably dishonest, unethical, immoral, and unpatriotic.
Moving forward, the risks for both parties are clear if they duck the responsibility or prolong an inquiry that, rather than coming to a close, may be just beginning. Outdoor apparel company The North Face says 3 members of its global athlete team are presumed dead after an avalanche in Alberta's Banff National Park. The company says the renowned climbers, 1 American and 2 Austrians, are missing. Recovery efforts are on hold because of dangerous conditions and additional avalanches at the scene. Parks Canada says safety specialists immediately responded by air and observed signs of multiple avalanches and debris containing climbing equipment. A Brooklyn judge has ruled against a group of parents who challenged New York City's recently imposed mandatory measles vaccination order, rejecting their arguments that the city's public health authority exceeds its authority. The order was imposed last week to stem the worst measles outbreak to hit the city since 1991. Imagine finding this in your backyard. Workers installing sewer lines across a southern Indiana farm have unearthed the fossilized bones of a mastodon that likely stood about 9 feet tall. The bones include most of a tusk, parts of a skull, and a jawbone with teeth. They were recently dug up on a farm in Seymour, about 60 miles south of Indianapolis. The fossil's age will be determined using radiocarbon dating.
That's something. Could you imagine?
There's a dinosaur in my backyard.
Right. I often imagine if you blended today with back then. You're like, ugh, these mastodons. Constantly crossing the street, getting in the way of our cars.
Eating my vegetables.
Right. Running through my house, destroying it. 6 minutes in front of the hour. A church in Louisiana is giving back to its community with free gas and prayer at the pump this Good Friday as part of Holy Week. This is the second year the Greater St. Stephen Full Gospel Baptist Church in New Orleans is doing the Good Friday giveaway ahead of Easter Sunday. This is in addition to its normal outreach of feeding the hungry and providing clothing to anyone in need. Fox News says from 9 a.m. until 11 a.m., or as long as supplies last today, the church will be pumping gas at 2 locations. But when it runs out, the offers of prayer and an invitation to Easter services will not. Executive Pastor Donna Williams told the Christian Post, If they want prayer, we offer prayer, and we invite them to celebrate with us on Easter Sunday. Leading up to what is like Super Bowl Sunday for many churches, the New Orleans congregation meets for morning services just like they have been doing for the last 50 years from Wednesday until Good Friday. Ms. Williams, by the way, said they expect a good portion of the people they interact with to show up on Sunday. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Great news! There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to GEICO. GEICO could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to GEICO.com today and see how much you could save.